Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Wednesday, the 9th of September. My name's Nick here in Melbourne. Starting in the UK, where their employee furlough scheme is expected to end at the end of October. It's somewhat similar to the Australian JobKeeper scheme in the way that it keeps people in their jobs for longer, whilst their employers may be, prevented from having any business. Now, there's a bit of controversy over there whether it should be extended. Ours is obviously going to the end of the first quarter next year, but the Bank of England chief economist has said no, it should end as expected, citing that the pain has to be experienced at some point, and the adjustments need to be made, and prolonging it's just going to cause more harm than good. So he says, prolonging it could delay the economy's much needed restructuring. He says a better way might be to let pay levels and working hours adjust to the market. At the same time, he signaled that companies may need help managing the debt burdens they've built up during the pandemic. Speaking of debt burdens, the Bank of England and the Chancellor of the Exchequer have allowed the British debt to rise up to over £2 trillion for the first time recently. Now, the BBC reports that British employers plan to sort of shed more than 300,000 people during June and July if they could. So the economist mentions that keeping all these jobs on life support is in some ways prolonging the inevitable in a way that actually doesn't help either the individual or the business. Our job as policymakers at the BOE is to make that process of adjustment as seamless and as painless as possible. Now, on a similar note, here in Australia, we've had, obviously a lot of debate about JobKeeper, and particularly here in Victoria, whether the higher rate should be extended for longer due to the prolonged lockdown here. But another interesting point's being made, as you may be aware, the director liability for trading as insolvency is sort of has a moratorium in place until the end of this calendar year. Once that happens, then directors, us as company directors, have an obligation to wind up the business or put it through administration. Now, what a number of people are mentioning, the AFR has mentioned it, that there's going to be a lot of issues there. So at the end of December, you're going to have a lot of companies winding up with huge employee entitlements building up. And the fact that the JobKeeper scheme keeps going and keeping these people in their roles, it could actually prolong increase the amount of entitlements these businesses have to pay out at the end of December. And the leading employer association AI group says that the cost of the government scheme to basically, if the business goes bankrupt, that the employees still get their benefits, it's paid out of the government, could rise significantly during the economic crisis. So this scheme's called the Fair Entitlements Guarantee, the FEG, and it has been used a lot. It paid out about $970 million in the last 5 years. But unless the scheme is restructured, the AI group mentions, the increased cost of the FEG to the budget is likely to be very substantial due to the increases in insolvencies as a result of the pandemic. So yeah, thousands of businesses are expected to hit the wall when this moratorium ends. Back here in Australia, the Australian Stock Exchange, the ASX, has announced they are finally upgrading their settlement and clearing system with a new blockchain solution. So the old CHESS, which anyone who's bought shares on the ASX would probably be aware of, will be eventually replaced. They're going to start trialing the blockchain distributed ledger based system at the end of this year, and then hope to have it fully rolled out in 2022. So this new system will also adhere to sort of international standards on these sorts of things, which could open up the market for, more international broking houses and that type of thing coming into Australia. Now, in addition to this, they're also looking at modernizing the good old paper statement system. So if you've ever bought shares in Australia, you can't get an electronic notification that you've bought them. It has to come in the mail. That has generated, the Australian newspaper mentions, 103 tons of paper in the last year. So no one would be proud of that, maybe other than Australia Post. Now that costs the issuing company $1.25 every time they have to, the ASX has to issue you a statement saying you've bought their shares. So yeah, this should hopefully be replaced, or you know, this option be available later this year, according to the ASX CEO. Moving to the markets now, there was quite a big sell-off at the open in the US. It's now over an hour since the open, and it's recovered a little bit. The S&P is still down over 2%. And interestingly, Tesla's down 14% this morning. The big market darling in the US, probably due to the fact it was not included in the S&P 500 index rebalance. It ticks all the quantitative requirements for inclusion, but it was not included. So a lot of people have been surprised by that. That's added to, you know, it's already down a lot this month. So it's a down over 20% now month to date. So S&P have come up with a statement saying, unlike other benchmarks that have already included Tesla in their indices, inclusion in the S&P indices isn't purely rules driven and systematic. Rather, inclusion is determined by a committee at S&P's discretion. Now, that's not too dissimilar to a lot of other indices. You know, they generally do have some sort of qualitative component, just because rules-based systems will end in, you know, very odd market movements or index substitutions and changes. So it does make sense, but it'd be interesting to know what that qualitative justification actually is. Here in Australia, we have the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey coming out later today. And that is your update for Wednesday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.